Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity, and we're going to be in Philippians 1, 12 to 18. I do want to thank Nick and Anthony in particular for just investing some time in me and helping me to understand the text better. And let's pray. Oh, Father, I need your help. I pray that you would help me to communicate faithfully. Give me strength, and I pray for your people that this will be a blessing to them and a glory to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. My family and I have moved a lot more than we ever anticipated. One of our moves was from close to Hell's Canyon to Paradise. And it was interesting. When we finally moved to Paradise, we put roots down and we thought, this might be the place where we will live the rest of our lives. We'll retire here, and we were very happy and loved it there. But then, as you know, in 2018, we had the campfire, which burned a town and moved not just us, but the whole town away. And sometimes I look at my circumstances. I have a tendency sometimes to feel sorry for myself. I look at this text, though, and I see the Apostle Paul. His circumstances, you can argue, were so much worse than mine ever have been. And yet we find him full of joy because he was focused not on his circumstances, but on the gospel. And that's what we need to be. As Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison in Rome. He was chained to a Roman soldier. But with his focus on the gospel, he probably thought, well, this soldier is chained to me so that he can hear the gospel. And that's exactly what happened. He was in prison for sharing the gospel so that he wouldn't share the gospel, and he kept sharing the gospel, and the whole imperial guard heard the gospel through his imprisonment. So he was in prison, and he's writing to the Philippian church. Now, the Philippian church was very concerned about Paul. They loved him dearly, and they wanted to know how he was doing. They had sent Epaphroditus. And so Paul is writing back to the Philippians, and he's letting them know that he's okay. But as we read Philippians, we realize the fact that he's okay has nothing to do with his physical circumstances. Why is Paul okay? He's okay because the gospel is advancing. So for him, with his gospel focus, his life was tied to the gospel. In fact, in verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ. We could think of a lot of things we would like to live for, and if we live for other things, we will lose our joy because our joy is in Christ. Paul kept his attention, his focus on Christ. That was his life and his joy. As we've been looking through Philippians, we have seen that the main idea of the book is Christians are to joyfully pursue unity through humility for the forward progress of the gospel. And as we read our text today, we will see that the gospel advances in difficult circumstances through faithful proclamation. The gospel advances in difficult circumstances through faithful proclamation. So Philippians 1, 12 through 18. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. If you remember back to the first lesson in Philippians, Anthony opened this up, and one of his main points was that we are to rejoice for gospel, or give thanks for gospel progress. Well, that fits right in here because we see that this is all about the advance or the progress of the gospel. And then last time Jacob shared, and he was emphasizing the affection and prayer that we are to have for gospel partners. Well, who are gospel partners? Those who are sharing the gospel or helping others to share the gospel. That's exactly what we also see in this text, is this text is about Paul and the brothers communicating, sharing the gospel. So it's all about the gospel. What then is the gospel that we're talking about? The gospel is the good news that although we were sinners deserving God's wrath, that Jesus Christ stood in our place, bore the wrath of God for us, so that by faith in him we might be saved and live with him forever. So that's the gospel. So the gospel, this good news, advances in difficult circumstances through faithful proclamation. So let's just see how that comes right out of our text. Look at verse 12. Paul wants them to know something in verse 12. What is it that he wants them to know? He wants them to know that what's happening to him is working for the advancement of the gospel. So again, this is about the advancing of the gospel. Now, how is that happening? Because number one, the whole imperial guard has heard the gospel. They were 24/7. Paul is chained to a guard. He's sharing the gospel. And most of the people that these imperial guards are chained to are awaiting a death sentence. They're in despair. They're not someone that you would be very encouraged by. Well, then you have the Apostle Paul. Paul is full of joy. He's praying for the people he's chained to. He's sharing the gospel, and everybody is hearing about Paul, and they're all thinking, you know, I want to be chained to this guy instead of these other guys, you know, and it just spread. And so they all heard about the gospel through Paul's imprisonment. And then also we see that the brothers are encouraged because of Paul's imprisonment to share the gospel, which is interesting. And if we imprison someone, like for murder, that would prevent him from further murder. And then other people would think, I better not murder, I might get thrown in prison. Well, it had the opposite effect on these gospel partners. Paul gets thrown in prison, and what does he do? He keeps preaching the gospel. That was his crime, and he kept committing the crime. And then the other brothers, they're seeing that he's in prison, and instead of being thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this, they're emboldened all the more to preach the gospel. They're committing the same crime that Paul was, the crime of preaching the gospel. So that's how the gospel is expanding through his circumstances. And then we see at the end, he says that in only then in every way and in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. So we see this text is bookended in a sense by the advance of the gospel. Verse 12, it's about the advance of the gospel. Verse 18, he's rejoicing that Christ is being proclaimed. So this text is all about rejoicing in the proclamation of the gospel so that people can be saved, even in Paul's difficult circumstances. So let's look at those difficult circumstances, which can seem like roadblocks to the gospel, but really turned out to be stepping stones to the gospel. Number one, Paul's imprisonment. For the Philippians, this would not have been a surprise at all, because they had already seen this. If you remember when Paul came to Philippi, what happened? He and Silas, they had their clothes stripped off them and they were beaten with rods. We see this in Acts 16. And it says that they were beaten with many blows. And then if you look at verse 33, it indicates that a lot of those blows caused open bloody wounds. So they were severely beaten. And then they were put in stocks and they were put into the inner prison, and that was the circumstances. And so that is when we read about them, we find them in Acts 16 moping and just discouraged about their circumstances, right? No. If you read it, they are praising God, even though they're bloody and beaten, and they're praying, and the whole, all of the prisoners are hearing the gospel in Philippi, and many believe. Many in Philippi believed. Even the jailer came to faith in Christ. And so that was the circumstances when the church was founded. Interesting, the Philippians, unlike many in the West, where we might hear a gospel that has to do with health, wealth, and prosperity. For them, they knew that the gospel was not a ticket to an easy life. They counted the cost. When they saw Paul and Silas and the great cost of bringing the gospel, and they came to faith, Paul rejoices in verse 5 that from the first day, you were partners with the gospel. They joined right in. And then in verse 29, Paul says, to you it has been granted not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer. It's treated as a privilege, a blessing to suffer for Christ. So that was the initial circumstances. And now Paul again is imprisoned in Rome, and he is rejoicing, and people are being saved. So this is a story the Philippians actually witnessed firsthand in Philippi, and now they're seeing that this is, again, what's happening to Paul in Rome. I remember hearing from Dr. Keith Idle. Some of you may have heard of him, but he had some connections, and he was telling us about a church in the Caucasus. And this church knew it was in a Muslim area that they would be persecuted. And so they focused heavy emphasis on training people to be pastors, so that when a pastor was martyred, there would be another man that can step up. And so as he was sharing his story, one of the pastors was martyred. And so they put the head in front of the door to warn the church to stop preaching the gospel, and so that no one else would come and take his place. And then another man immediately stepped in and started pastoring that church, and then another and another. The last report I heard, 17 believers were martyred, but that church had grown from in 30-something to 50-something members. So it's a small church. Tremendous persecution, but they were coming to Christ faster than they were being martyred, and the church was growing. And it left the community wondering, what's up with my son, my daughter, my grandparent, my friend, my neighbor, that they would all of a sudden be willing to give their lives for Christ? Well, that question was answered by the faithful proclamation of the gospel. They were sharing the gospel. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Paul in Acts 14 says that by many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of heaven. And so these circumstances, rather than being a roadblock for the gospel, seek to further the gospel. Well, another potential roadblock was, if you look at verse 17, there are these brothers who are seeking to afflict Paul in his imprisonment. How would they seek to afflict Paul? By preaching the gospel. That's hard to believe, but they're preaching the gospel. But it says that they do it out of envy, verse 15, and rivalry. Verse 17, selfish ambition. So they were preaching the gospel, but they had the wrong motives. We see elsewhere, Paul rails against false teachers. So this appears to be people who were actually teaching a true gospel. It's just that they had the wrong motives, seeking to afflict Paul. But Paul isn't in it for himself. He's in it for Christ. And so for him, if Christ is proclaimed, he rejoices. I remember a Western civilization class in college, and my professor is not a Christian, and he was covering St. Augustine. And so I asked our class, what did St. Augustine believe and teach about the gospel? And so I start praying, oh God, may he not distort the gospel. For 40 minutes, he started outlining the gospel faithfully on the grease board, and my prayer changed to, oh God, save people. 40 people in that classroom were hearing the gospel. Now, the motives may not have been for the glory of God or for the salvation of souls, but the gospel was preached, and it sure made me rejoice. It was good to hear the gospel rejoicing. So Paul's difficult circumstances here, that he was imprisoned, led to the furtherance of the gospel, and then these teachers who are seeking to hurt him, he's just rejoicing again that the gospel is being preached. And his joy and his courage is contagious. As he is full of joy and even in his difficulties, and he courageously keeps preaching the gospel, other people are full of joy, and they keep preaching the gospel as well. So again, we see here the gospel advances in difficult circumstances through faithful proclamation. And again, the theme of the whole book, Christians are to joyfully pursue unity through humility for the forward progress of the gospel. If we look at this text and look at the rest of the book, we see that Paul addresses a couple difficult situations in the church. One of them we see is personal ambition, which obviously we see right here as well. He brings it up again later. And personal conflict among members of the church. These issues, personal ambition and personal conflict, are fueled by self-centeredness. These are people that were focused on themselves and not on the gospel. What is the antidote for self-centeredness in the conflict that would bring? It's the gospel. The gospel is the antidote. If we are focused on the gospel, we will be united together striving for the gospel. If we're not focused on the gospel, we'll fight about all kinds of lesser issues. So we need to be focused on the gospel. Jesus in John 17 prays in his high priestly prayer, Father, may they be united so that the world will be convinced of the truth of the gospel. It's worded a little differently. Jesus says, so that the world may know that you, Father, have sent me into the world. But basically, that they would know the truth of the gospel, that Christ came for us by our unity. And what is it that unites us? It's the gospel. And Paul ends this passage with the joy that comes if the gospel is proclaimed and that he rejoices. So when I'm tempted to be discouraged because of my circumstances, I need to learn from Paul to take my eyes off my circumstances and put it on the gospel. That's the source of our joy. There is an old Puritan. He said, if God was to give me all power, you would see what I would change. But if he was to give me also all wisdom, I wouldn't change a thing. As Jesus Christ in Hebrews 12 says, for the joy set before him endured the cross. So we need to focus our eyes on Christ in the gospel, the source of our joy, and in that joy, we need to embrace difficult circumstances for the proclamation of the gospel. Let's pray.